You're listening to the sleep show that can help you with your sleep. It's the sleep show on the Talk of Connecticut with Dr. Bethany Brenner in Burlington. Dr. Brenner was selected as a top dentist by the Connecticut Magazine. She is a certified healthcare provider and is a past president of the CSDA, Connecticut State Dental Association. Dr. Bethany Brenner is qualified with the AADSM, the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine. This is the show about your sleep. So if you have any issues sleeping with restless nights, as anyone knows who doesn't get the proper night's sleep, it throws off your whole day and your overall health. You can always get in touch with Dr. Bethany Brenner at 860-673-7155. 860-673-7155. You can also visit theburlingtondentist.com. Now, Dr. Brenner. Good morning and welcome to The Sleep Show. Along with Dr. Bethany Brenner, I'm Gary Byron. You can contact Dr. Bethany Brenner at 860-673-7155. Again, it's 860-673-7155. Do you or someone, or do you know someone that has some sleep issues? Chronic sleep issues, I understand. We can get things on our mind from time to time and add stress and so on and so forth. And usually, you know, got a big speech to make in the morning and something. I'm not talking about that. That's normal. That happens to everybody. I'm talking about night after night after night. You can't go to sleep. Don't be hooked on crazy pharmaceuticals, neither. They'll try to sell you anything. Of course, you can go online as well to theburlingtondentist.com. Dr. Bethany Brenner, great to see you this morning. Good morning. How you been? How was your week?
Well, it's always busy. There's always projects. We're constantly...
Always something to do.
Yeah, it's never ending. But
you love what you do. So what do they say? When you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right?
That is so true.
I know it is. So true. It's one of the conversations we had one time.
I know. And you know, the other thing is that the patients, when they come in, they appreciate the amount of information they get. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming. You know, I'm telling them things and they're like, really? That doesn't sound like it connects. But yeah, we eventually get it explained, the sequence of events and why they where they are today.
I'll bet. I was in the intro, I was mentioning something where, you know, we've all at some point of our life had a time sleeping. You know, you could have a relationship issue. You could have something that happened at work that's just stewing. Maybe you got a big presentation the following day. That's normal.
Yeah, you can.
We're not talking about
you can
that.
Have sleep disruptions due to, I'm going to call it, stressful events. Yeah. A death in the family.
Sure, that is
going
sure.
through a divorce. You know, kids are up doing things and you're upset. I get that. But this is a little more...
That goes away.
It can be there for a while in some people, then they think it's just the stress, mm-hmm. but it lasts and lasts and lasts. And mm-hmm. so that's when it's not the stress. Or the stressors actually throw you more into sympathetic. We got into this at one of the other shows,
yeah.
parasympathetic versus sympathetic. And that starts to activate a different part of the nervous system that actually then throws you into a more chronic situation. So it can... be the beginning of something that's more chronic, but oftentimes people, you know, someday figure it out. So, but not everybody does. I know, that's the hard part.
Yeah, it is.
And then they don't want to tell me about it.
They need to, though. That's what you're here for. What about when people get like, you know what I used to do? NyQuil. But now they have ZQuil because they were catching on that people are taking NyQuil without any cold. You know, they're just so they came up with ZQuil.
Yeah, and they have a Tylenol PM
or Ambien, right?
Yeah,
but those are pharmaceuticals that could really cause
that actually screws up your
sleep
more.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they take it on a regular basis and they think, well, I'm asleep, so I must be okay. And the trouble with that is that they're really not getting quality sleep.
To that point.
Yeah.
When I've had trouble sleeping because of a cold, you know, when your nostrils clog and then you move to one side and then that drains out and it goes to the other one, I'm flipping back and forth and I can't sleep. So I'll take the NyQuil. No, it's true. It puts me out. But here's what I notice. When I wake up in the morning, it's one of the worst night's sleep I've ever had. So did they do what they said they were going to do? Did they put me out? Yes, but It wasn't quality sleep. Why? Do I not hit the REM phase? Is that what it is?
No, you're probably hitting some REM. The trouble is that when your nose is clogged up, you're going to actually have more sleep apneic events. Because those kind of can vary from night to night. So we sort of, when I test people, I like to see two or three nights just because I want to see if there's variation in that sleep. Are we consistent? Are we doing something? Because sleep is also dependent on what you eat. So that's why diet and food affect our sleep.
You said that last week.
Yeah.
To that point, should you not eat a certain amount of time before you go to bed?
Well, I like to think that we should be done eating 3 hours before we go to bed. You shouldn't drink alcohol 3 hours before you. Of course, everybody goes out on a Friday or Saturday night and they're with their friends and they're eating for hours, right? That's fine for the social event. But you're not going to sleep well. So if I go out with my friends and we go to a restaurant, we're going at 7. No, restaurant reservations are at 7 in the evening. Okay. You know you're not going to get out of it before 9 or 10 o'clock. And you're having a couple glasses of wine or a drink, whatever you're interested in.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to sleep well.
Really?
Oh, I know I'm not going to sleep well.
Some people say a brandy. One. Perfect.
So sipping certain things, it's still an alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one drinks brandy to get tanked. There are ways,
Yeah, I agree.
Typically, that's not the first.
There are some other things that you like the sipping type drinks, right? But it's still going to affect your sleep.
Or cognac.
Yeah, cognac, but it still affects your sleep. You may not notice it like, oh my God, I'm hungover the next day, but you're still going to have, you're either going to wake more often, you're going to have disrupted sleep. And that's sometimes like you just wake up and it's kind of like, man, I got to roll over and go on the other side and sleep again. So you can get yourself back to sleep, but the quality of that deep healing sleep isn't there. And remember what I said the last time, your brain does a brain flush, okay, to get the toxins out of the brain. So now we just put some toxins in there and the brain's got to flush those out. And that takes a little time to do. Usually those brain flushes come 3 to 4 hours into sleep, which is why everybody wakes up. They're like, gee, I was sleeping, but what woke me up? Okay. And oftentimes they think they have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And maybe they do. Okay. But maybe it's kind of like, well, I'm awake. I might as well go. I have people that say that.
Well, could that have age something to do with that as well?
So there's a yes and a no. I have a lot of seniors who live a very healthy lifestyle. They're healthier than the 30 and 40 year olds. Why? Because they're getting regular sleep. They're on a good schedule. They're getting more exercise. They have a calmer lifestyle. They're not so stressed in the same way. They meet with friends. Social activities actually bring you from sympathetic to parasympathetic. So kind of like, what is your daytime routine like, right? We also have the opposite on certain seniors that don't move, sit in a chair, watch TV all day long,
are alone.
Mm-hmm. And being lonely actually drives you more into sympathetic because they're not getting that social. So we know people who live longer, they have more social interaction. They have activities that they look forward to. They have a routine. So that makes them get up and get out of the house. They're going and socializing, going to work out, whatever it may be. But we know that's part of why they live longer. And the other part is they tend to eat healthier.
Is that right?
They're not eating on the run. They're not eating fast food. They're tending to sit down at a meal and chewing their food. They also don't eat as much. Interesting, because snacking is really bad.
But we're all guilty of it.
Well, you can be, and that's where your self-discipline starts.
Well, I guess it's what you're snacking on. I mean, I know people who eat very healthy and they snack on carrots, or celery.
Yeah, I know. But every time you put food into the gut, you turn on a different system and you turn off the ones that are trying to heal your body.
Okay, so
for instance, I get a lot of people that they get some acid reflux, and so they'll take Nexium, Prilosec, Tums, whatever they can get their little hands on over the counter, or they even have a prescription drug. So there's a proton pump in our stomach, but there's also a proton pump in our brain, in our gut, in our organs. We have like 7 proton pumps, and we'd say, what the hell does that have to do with anything? Right. Well, when you turn off one, you turn them all off, and that's what those things do. Yeah, it starts to get complicated.
So what's the ideal sleep environment? What's the perfect setting?
Dark, So people often have too many lights on in their bedroom. The clock that's 3 feet from their face, the TV lights, the glow in the dark because they don't want to trip in the night. They have a night light on somewhere nearby. They have computers, laptops that, I hate to say it, but even your cell phone, you know, gets a message coming in. It lights up, right? If you got that near your face, even though you're still asleep, the light goes through your eyelids into your brain.
But what if you work in a...
You're a doctor. You're on call.
You work in...
They're the most sleep-deprived of all.
You're in news.
Yeah.
If something breaks, I've got to have that. I have the alerts on my phone, so I need it.
Right. Are you looking every time the alert comes across?
Yeah.
That disturbs your sleep.
Yeah.
So the ideal environment, and especially that's why we talk about you need a day off here or there, right? Mm. So do you get that? Yeah, right. So... people who are, I'm going to say, gung-ho, you know, they're working their way up the ladder. They're not established in the news media. They're like, they'll take anything because that's how they get paid, right? They want to get a name for themselves beyond the news. I'm breaking the news, you know, all that good stuff. I understand that. And that's one of the reasons I didn't go into medicine, because they don't get a life. They don't get any sleep. And I'm an eight-hour girl. So
I can't remember. We had this discussion, I think, on our first show a couple of weeks ago. I go to bed at 11:30 and I'm up at 4:30.
Right.
What's that, 5? And maybe when I'm not on a weekends, an hour, maybe an hour and a half more.
Right.
But yeah,
so there are things that disturb your sleep, and we talked about winding down a little bit quicker, right? So like you have to stay off of the blue light devices, and typically. Somebody's watching the news. They're talking with their friends. Oh, you're helping your children with their homework.
How about this? You're not going to like me when I say this.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Television puts me to sleep.
Yeah, you know why? Because it puts your brain into a delta wave.
What is that?
So we have different brain waves, like high alert, kind of like we're aware, we're sort of running our daily stuff. And then we have delta waves. And the delta waves come when it's like monotone, we're watching something. So if I want to get put to sleep, if I really need a nap, I'm not feeling well, and I heal better when I sleep, I'll put on something so boring that I'll fall asleep, even though I lower the volume and it's just not something I want to pay attention to. And unfortunately, that'll put me right to sleep.
Then thank you for validating that, because I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't even share this with her, but I'm not going to hold anything back. Putting on the television with a very low volume, I don't know. It just, there's something about it. It just puts me out. I'm out.
Right.
But if I don't have the TV on, you know what happens to me? I'm in the dark and I'm thinking about, what do I got to do tomorrow? My mind, I'm stewing over, okay, I've got this. Oh, I forgot. I got to hit the store on my way home because I don't have half and half. Or I forgot to pick up this last week when I should have. My mind starts to race. But if I had the TV on, I just contradicted everything you just said. And I apologize for that, but I'm being honest with you.
No, so I have a pad of paper because this happens to me too, right? Because I'll pop awake and it's like, I just went to sleep like a half hour, an hour ago, and I pop awake and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot, blah, blah, blah. So I have a pad and a pen and I write it down. As soon as I write it down, I just unloaded it off my brain. It doesn't have to worry all night long. I go right to sleep. So you might try it.
What affects your sleep? I mean, outside forces, like,
so routers, Wi-Fi in the house. So I have some people that are highly sensitive to the 5G business that's going on. I had a woman who got terrible headaches when she was at home. And when she'd get to my office, the headaches would be gone. And she's like, I don't know what's wrong. And I'm like, so tell me what your environment's like. So she was sleeping literally 2 feet away from the router. So I said, okay, so we've got to get the router out of the room, right? And they're like, well, we have a really small apartment. I said, just put it the opposite end of where your bedroom is. We've had people in apartment complexes who the router's on the other side of the wall. And they don't know because it's not in their apartment, but it's close enough to where they are sleeping. So for people who have those kinds of things, I tell them, put it on a timer. Goes off at, let's say, 11 o'clock, and it doesn't come back on until 6 o'clock, whatever your normal sleep time is, so that you're not as affected. Now, that's not true for everybody. I have people that they can put the router next to their head, and they're fine. But we're starting to find that there's more and more people that are affected by the Wi-Fi. and children especially, and kids who hold cell phones up to their heads because the skull is thinner, you know, everything is smaller. We're actually seeing more brain tumors with people holding cell phones to their head. And this didn't happen in the beginning.
Well, that's because it's 5G. I think it has more to do with 5G
I'm not going to disagree. I think that the more we've gone up in that, the worse it's been, right? So the kids, and even I won't even hold the cell phone up to my head anymore. I have like ear things that I'll put in and I can be on the phone call, but now I don't have that phone radiation up next to my head. Yeah.
I have a little guy who, even in the winter, he has a fan on.
Yeah.
Not because he needs the fan.
Yeah.
It could be.
He needs the white noise.
It could be January. Yes.
Yeah. So white
noise. And it noise, works. So I'm like, okay, no, I'm not going to mess with it then.
So white noise is great. Okay. That helps us drown out all the other sounds, right? So they have sound machines you can put in your bedroom too.
I've heard that as well.
So they can have rainfall and you can have ocean sounds.
That's
and
cool.
And that's fine too. They help with sleep. Temperature is another big one. So some people put fans on because they like it colder. And this is where the spouses like one wants it warmer, one's it colder. But you'll work that out, right? And I have some people who the spouse really interrupts their sleep. And I have to say to people, look, separate bedrooms might be the better thing to do. Not like you're not getting along. And it's not a I don't love you thing. It's a I have to sleep better because it's affecting my health.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the other person. So it might be someone who's snoring.
That's I was going to say. I know couples like that. They're deeply in love.
Yeah.
Young.
Yeah.
But one snores and she's like, I'm not listening to that all night.
Or she bands him to the living room and they sleep in a recliner or on a couch. And so
that
that's
wouldn't
not,
be comfortable every night.
That is exactly it. So you've got to think of what's kind of best for both people. And
you said something a moment ago that really caught my attention and had to do with diet. And I think I said something where how many hours before you said 3 hours, but let's dissect that a little bit more specifically. Are there types of foods that can A, keep you up or B that help you get to sleep?
So there's a complex question.
All right, let me do this first. Let me just do a quick ID.
Okay.
Cause since I probably should have done this before I even asked you. Folks, you are listening to The Sleep Show along with Dr. Bethany Brenner. I'm Gary Byron. Very easy to contact. 860-673-7155. I'll give it to you again. 860-673-7155. And online at theburlingtondentist.com. If you missed any of those points of contact, don't worry. I'll give it to you one more time before the show is over. Go ahead. Talk to your heart's content. Thank you.
So our gut really plays a big role in how our body functions. You would agree, right?
Yes.
So food's important. We've talked a lot about, and you hear it on the news and the new magazines and everything else, eating a clean diet, eating a better diet, right? Well, not everybody does that. One, especially people who don't cook, and I'm talking, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. If you don't cook, you go to the fast food places and you're getting all the wrong oils. Yeah. All of these, I'm going to kind of say suspect foods, and they cause inflammation in the body. So they churn up the gut. Some people get bloating. They get cramping. They get constipation. They run to the bathroom a little more frequently. There's a variety of symptoms that happen, which is what – and honest to goodness, physicians are not trained in any kind of nutrition. This has been kind of my wheelhouse since I was a kid because I took an antibiotic for strep throat when I was 11, and after that – milk bothered me. Mm-hmm. And my mother was a big one, drink your milk, right? So she loved milk, and so we all had to drink it. To this day, not only myself, my brother, and my sister were all allergic to milk. Yeah.
Like lactose intolerant?
No, not lactose intolerant. It doesn't create hives.
Okay.
And it's not lactose intolerant because we've all been tested for that. It actually has an issue with the gut itself, the bacteria that live in your gut.
Okay.
So the antibiotics kill off the good guys. And the bad guys get overgrown in your gut. And so now you eat normal food and you just have a completely different reaction. Either runs through you, causes an upset, you get bloating, you don't feel good, all these kind of things. So stressors then for those people make it worse. Okay. So what are the big ones? Sugar. Okay. Now, sugar comes in lots of forms. Fructose, corn syrup. Which they put in all the sodas, which is like, that drives me nuts. Yeah. And now they put sucralose in there. And what is sucralose? It's aspartame. And that stuff has a neurotoxin. So we all know that sweet and low and equal.
Saccharin.
Yeah,
right?
All of that stuff, they're neurotoxins. So, like, you want to make sure you keep all your marbles sharp. Well, don't eat that stuff. And they put that all in the diet soda. So think of all the diabetics who are thinking, I'm doing a good thing because I like soda. I like the bubbly taste. I like the flavor. But now you're getting a neurotoxin with it. So literally, this happened to me back in the early 2000s. I love to paint. So I paint pictures and I would go to a paint class. And it was like a great Saturday for me to do that, right? So, and I was still kind of just kind of getting into techniques and I take different ones. And this one woman, she'd bring her little cooler with her and she'd have her lunch in there and six diet sodas or I think they were Diet Coke.
Whoa.
She couldn't remember how to get home at the end of the day. She actually got pulled over by the police and had to call her husband to come and get her because she didn't know who she was. And the cops are like, have you had any diet sodas? And she's like, yeah. Yeah.
So diet soda caused that.
Yeah. Not for everybody, but
I'd be like, does she have medical issues? You know, dementia? Is she been drinking alcohol?
No, it was all the neurotoxin. So she's a susceptible individual, right?
Wow.
So we start talking about the different things. So I lectured to different companies. I would go in and give a health lecture. Some of them pay their employees to sit there and have somebody talk to them about how to have a healthier lifestyle. I was one of those people. So I'd go over to the insurance companies and I'd give an hour and a half lecture on how to eat better, what things affect you, and sort of all of that stuff, and started talking about neurotoxins back in the 90s.
Wow.
So we've known this. We've known this. But you don't hear it. You don't hear it. It's not mainstream news.
No. How about like prescription medications? That's, again, that's so varied, right?
Depends on how many you're on, right? So some people, it's mostly the ones for, I'm going to call, you know, the depression, anxiety group, the SSRIs we talked about. There's a few of those. And you just have to look them up on the computer, Google it. It'll give you a list of those medications, but they cause more grinding and clenching, and people come in with face pain when they have. So I look at the medication list. If they're on things some of the GERD medications, like I said, the Prilosec, there's prescription ones as well. What's their blood pressure doing? So blood pressure also gives me an indicator of how well the kidneys are functioning. It's also an indicator of insulin resistance. And those things, you'd think, oh, they're not associated with anything with sleep. But the minute we start getting you off the sugars, reducing your grains, and I'm just going to say they've got the food pyramid upside down. Okay.
Really?
So fat is good, but not all fat, right?
I've heard that.
Right. So what are the good fats? They're avocado oil, yeah. Coconut oil, and olive oil, right? And I don't have any other kinds in my house. I don't – and canola oil is in – I can't go to the store and buy a salad dressing. It's all got either soybean oil or canola oil, and I will not. And canola oil was used in machines. It was rapeseed. That was the original name of it. And then they bleached it and chemically, and then they put it in a bottle and go, oh, you can drink it now. I'm not drinking a machine
oil. Who would wake up and do that, though? For what purpose? Why don't they just come up with one of the other oils and use that?
Good question. But if you go to the aisle in the store and you read the labels, which is one of the things I have to turn around and teach patients, is how to read a label. And I work with diabetics and I work with a lot of people who come in because as you increase the cortisol levels in your body and your gut gets more upset, right? You're hungry. You're searching for the sugar because sugar wakes us up. And when you eat the sugar, and I'm talking carbs, okay? So it doesn't have to be the glucose itself, table sugar. It can be a bagel. Not so. My mother became a diabetic, and so I had to sit her down. And she's like, "It doesn't make any difference what I eat. I just take my medication. This pricking my fingers." She hated it. She didn't want to do it. And I said, "Well, it just gives an overall view of the day. It varies because stressors vary. Exercise varies. Are you getting sick? Are you coming down with a virus? So there's other little things that can affect your blood sugar." And so getting off the carbs is the best thing you can do.
But going back to prescription medications, will it often tell you on the label, whether it's over the counter or, like I said a moment ago, prescribed, will it say, like sometimes they say take with food or you know, or don't take with food, or so it could affect your sleep.
Right. So you got to read the fine print. Tell me, what's the last time you read the fine print on a prescription?
Seldom.
Right.
I'm not on any prescription
because they
meds,
put it in such tiny print.
Right, without a doubt.
And who's really taking most of those medications?
Elderly.
The ones who can't see. They're wearing their... And I struggle. And I laugh when I read the instructions for something for the computer, for instance. I was trying to do a new camera for a web camera. And the font is so tiny, I'm getting out a magnifying glass, and then I'm like, shit, excuse my language, but I take a picture of it with my phone, and then I got to blow it up so I can read it. Like, you know, it's like crazy. But they make it so tiny. So tell me anybody who reads them, they don't.
Well, yeah. Like you said, I mean, you can't.
Well, you can. You just
With a magnifying glass. But I mean, they do
effort.
That purposely.
Yeah, they make it very difficult.
Because if you did read it,
right.
You might not buy it.
Well, you might not take it. Right.
Well, if you're not going to take it, why would you buy it? Yeah.
Well, because it's a prescription. You usually go fill it. Oh. And then once you filled it, it's yours. You own it. Yeah. They can't take it back. That's the hard part.
So then you're in a catch-22.
Yeah.
You need it.
Well, do you need it? So physicians, and this is kind of the accepted protocol today, is they treat everything with drugs right now.
Well, isn't it more beneficial to the pharmaceuticals to treat it than cure it?
Big Pharma loves that. And the physicians are trained this way. They really are not looking. They're just going, I'm getting you better. I'm going to give you this. And so why do you think there's some discussion about taking some of these pharmaceutical ads off the TV? Because they want the patient to come in and ask the doctor for the medication. Think about that. So they're driving it with ads on TV because you think that's the answer to my problem, right? Yeah. But you don't know there's another solution because they don't offer another solution.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's hard for me because I've got people that are on so many drugs, and I'm talking young people. In their 20s, they're on 4 or 5 drugs already, and they're having all these problems, and yet they've seen the neurologist and this and that, and they're taking pretty heavy-duty drugs.
Folks, if you'd like more information on the topics that we discussed on this show or any other, please head on over to theburlingtondentist.com. Also, call, meet with Dr. Bethany Brenner, 860-673-7155. One more time, 860-673-7155. For Dr. Bethany Brenner, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to The Sleep Show. Until next weekend, have a good one, everybody. So long. You've been listening to the show that can help you with your sleep. It's The Sleep Show here on The Talk of Connecticut with Dr. Bethany Brenner in Burlington. This is the show about your sleep, heard every weekend at this time on The Talk of Connecticut. You can also get in touch with Dr. Bethany Brenner at 860-673-7155. That's 860-673-7155. You can also visit TheBurlingtonDentist.com.